Words appear, Houston, Texas. A middle-aged blonde woman in a red dress drives a Mercedes. Her heart-shaped keychain reads Mom's keys and holds a photo of twin boys. In a valet parking lot, a couple approaches an SUV. The Mercedes driver veers into the man. Her passenger glares.
Daddy!
The driver turns around and heads back.
Was sentenced to 20 years in prison today, and the phone lines are going crazy. Hello there, Cicero, Indiana. You are live on the air.
Clara Harris did what every scorned woman in America has wanted to do.
The man lifts his head.
That woman does not deserve prison. She deserves a medal.
Oh, come on. She ran over her husband not once, but three times. She deserves it. Clara Harris needs to fry.
I want you to free Clara Harris. He could have drove her to it.
Clara runs over the man again.
This woman just had no sense of self-worth.
David Harris was no innocent victim.
This is what I love. The man is always wrong. I mean, in our society, a woman can plow
over her husband.
This is exactly the kind of thing that happens when you
take care of those babies.
We got the death penalty in Texas.
Clara watches blankly as the man crawls. She runs over him again. Bystanders scatter.
Three children.
Oh, my God!
Stop!
The passenger slaps the driver's face, gets out, and collapses to her knees. As crowds converge, the girl's mother gets out.
Daddy, you feel like daddy!
The blonde woman walks to the mangled victim, now sprawled across a sidewalk.
Hey, what happened? Please, sir.
David!
Look what you make me do.
You killed my daddy!
He's okay.
You killed my daddy!
No, he's okay. Come on, tell her, baby. You tell her.
She cradles David's head, then eyes her bloody fingers. She lowers her face to his.
Please. Oh!
The woman shudders over the lifeless man resting on her lap.
I love you.
The biggest mistake America can make is to laugh at Clara Harris. Should Clara have run over her husband because he cheated?
Oh, baby.
Of course not. Do I understand why she wanted to? You bet your ass I do.
Clara cradles David close. The picture freezes, and a computer effect renders it like a painting. Now a montage shows tall buildings, then an aerial view sweeps over a church with a towering steeple in a residential community. As we soar over the Houston skyline in a maze of freeways, titles appear. Starring Celia Ward as Bobby Basha, Suburban Madness, with Elizabeth Pena, Reagan Wallace, Kate Greenhouse, Kirsten Bishoprick, and Brett Cullen. Now our view skateboards down a quiet street, then slowly passes an ice cream truck and a sign reading, "Welcome to Friendswood." In a front yard, a girl swings on a tire hanging from a tree. On another lawn, boys play on an inflatable water slide. A cheerleader falls into the arms of her teammates on a grassy field. Nearby, boys play soccer and a sign reads, "Friendswood Community Park." Music by John Altman, edited by Victor Dubois. Production designer Tamara DeVorel. Director of Photography, Paul Sarasi. Produced by Mark Winemaker. Co-executive producer, Dave Mace. Executive producers, Craig Zaden, Neil Miron. Based on the article written by Skip Hollingsworth, which originally appeared in Texas Monthly. Teleplay by Kimberly Reed. Directed by Robert Dornhelm. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Dutch Priest, Justin Soule, and Carrie Danahy. Read by Miles Neff. Now outside a church, couples arrive arm in arm, and families greet a pastor at the door. Now a man carrying a briefcase tips his cowboy hat to a passing lady as he enters an office complex. Inside it, a stylish woman wearing sunglasses scans a directory board. Words appear, 6 months earlier. She enters a waiting room filled with jittery women. More words, Blue Moon Investigations.
Clara Harris isn't some wacko. She isn't stupid, funny, sick, or insane. Clara Harris is just like the revolving door of suburban women who visit my office every single day. Before all this madness, she was simply a wife, a mama.
I have 9 o'clock.
An orthodontist.
My name is Joan.
And your last name?
Just Joan.
Please fill us out.
Thanks.
The receptionist hands Joan a clipboard.
Can I borrow your pen?
Oh, sure. Here you are. Thanks.
A woman with dark curly hair enters, followed by a younger lady in a cowboy hat.
Business is booming. Must be a full moon.
Must be.
Eyeing Joan, they open a closet filled with surveillance equipment.
How could anybody cheat on a pretty little thing like that?
Cute's got nothing to do with it, Jesse.
Jesse follows the dark-haired woman.
Sometimes the cuter they are, the more they get cheated on. That's why we're here.
They enter an office.
You and me and Blue Moon. We're here to give them back their power. Say yay, yeah.
Yeah!
Howard and nail the line, two-time and good-for-nothing sons of...
Come on in.
Jesse opens the door. Joan removes her violet sunglasses. Her eyebrows match her auburn hair.
I think my husband is cheating on me.
Of course he is, darling.
Bobby chews ice from a cup.
Sit over here, honey.
Her tight blue skirt shimmering, Joan sidles past the first of two chairs facing the investigator's desk.
It's Joan, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Bobby.
I'm Jesse James. I'm her assistant.
Of course he's cheating, honey. He's probably cheating for sure, and I'm gonna give you the straight poop on men. They feel it's their biological duty to procreate. Spread that seed. There's no loyalty, only self-indulgence. Would you like a cookie?
Joan carefully shakes her head no.
My mama made them.
Oh, here. Have two of them.
Joan looks away as Jesse stacks two cookies in her hand.
Now, let me ask you a question.
It's okay. Bobby always asks this question.
Do you really want to know the truth? Because I'm going to find out the truth. It ain't going to be sugar-coated.
Joan clenches the cookies.
I want to know.
Bobby offers a tissue. Good. Now a cursor completes the name Joan on a computerized file card. Later, two men face Bobby.
No, Mr. Kane, Texas law is very clear on this. If your wife is cheating, then you'll get the kids, the house, and the big screen TV.
See, Mike, did I tell you or did I tell you?
You mean he really gets the TV?
Well, he cashes in, but you have to prove it. Can't just point a finger and make her guilty. That's why I'll need to tail the cheating little tramp.
$65 an hour. 4-hour minimum. Do you spell your name with a C or a K?
C-A-I-N-E. I want you to follow her tonight. They're going out, probably to a hotel.
Now maybe they'll just stop by the side of the highway and do their business.
Do we know who your wife's shacking up with?
Lisa. Pam's having an affair with Lisa Singer.
My wife.
Your wife?
Mike nods evenly.
Good Lord.
Well, ex-wife, just recently divorced. Right after I dropped $5,000 on her boob job.
Jesse and Bobby trade smiles.
Yeah, but Pam can't wait to get her hands on those puppies.
Yeah.
Jesse smiles, Bobby stands.
Well, it's all the same to me. I'm an equal opportunity PI.
They shake hands.
Domestic investigator.
Mr. Kane, if your wife is cheating with your wife, Blue Moon will make him pay.
Mike eyes some donuts.
Thank you, sweetheart. Do you mind if I take one of these?
Help yourself.
You want one, bud?
No, thank you.
It's free, buddy.
Oh, for God's sake.
Danny Kane's name and photo appear on a computerized file card. Later, Jesse prints out a label spelled K-A-N-E, comma Danny. Now a sign reads Orbit Orthodontics, Dr. David Harris, DDS, and Clara Harris, DDS.
Hi, my name is Singer. Lisa Singer.
Thank you.
David reads a blonde applicant's resume.
Yes. I mean, I'm very excited to get back to work. 10 years is a long time. I don't have any computer experience, but my kids have one, and I'm going to practice. I'm going to be so dedicated to this job.
A brunette Clara reads an x-ray.
It's slowly shifting, causing some pressure on the joint right here, am I right? So we're going to need a surgical procedure to correct the bite.
Dr. Clara, how much will this cost?
She eyes the boy in a dental chair.
Well, the procedure's fairly new. So new, in fact, that Roberto would be an experimental case.
A co-worker lifts her brows. Clara shrugs.
And I couldn't possibly charge you.
Oh, thank you.
You've been a good patient. You get something from the treasure box, okay? And I will see you folks soon.
Thank you, doctor.
Meanwhile, with David, Lisa smiles.
Did I mention that I need Tuesday afternoons off? It's for soccer. My son, he's a goalie, and he's not really very good, but I like to encourage him.
I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, he doesn't really have to play.
David shakes his head.
This isn't going to work out.
But I...
I'm sorry. Thanks for coming in.
Hands folded on her lap, Lisa nods.
Great. 4 years of college, 10 years raising kids. I can't get a job at a shoe carnival.
As Lisa stands, her robin's egg blue purse falls. David picks it up.
I'm sorry. I'm a mess.
David picks up a wallet and two tampons.
Oh, sorry. I know that people get divorced in this country every day. I'm not really very good at it.
Hey, it can't be all that bad.
Lisa nods and musters a brief smile.
Mrs. Singer, can
it's you... Lisa.
David meets her distraught gaze, tilts his head, and smiles kindly.
Can you answer the phone, Lisa?
Yeah, I could do that.
She smiles.
I could answer the phone.
Good.
They shake hands. Backing up, Lisa's gaze lingers.
Great, sorry.
She waves.
Hey. We're not the Red Cross, Clara. David made it very clear, no more free procedures.
Sheila, that child is in pain.
Uh-huh. Mr. Rodriguez knew exactly what he was doing. He was working the Bleeding Heart Colombian.
Oh, please, I'm more American than you are.
He was taking advantage.
So, what if he was? When you've got a family to take care of, you do whatever you have to.
Did you forget to eat again?
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
Sheila hands her boss a Snickers.
Don't tell David about Rodriguez.
David hugs Clara from behind.
You really be eating that. Yeah. So when do the boys finish Taekwondo?
Oh, I'll pick them up.
Well, no, don't worry about it, baby. I'm going to leave early to get Amy from the airport.
Root canal.
Well, reschedule it. I want to be there when she gets off the plane.
I already rescheduled once.
It's too much. You do the root canal.
She kisses his cheek.
Well, Amy, I'll prepay for a cab, pick up the boys, and have dinner ready by the time you get home.
Here you go, David. Claire's got it all figured out.
Now in a parked car, Bobby and Jesse each talk on a cell phone.
Jesse, now, Lucas, I really want him to have braces. I tell Derek if he wants to be a stand-up comedian, he needs to have straight teeth.
That rides the motorcycle.
Listen to you.
He was looking at me a lot last time.
Okay, no, I won't worry. I know you will.
I'm serious. Okay.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jesse peers at a stately brick mansion.
Is that Lucas?
Uh-huh.
I just love him.
He's wonderful.
Do you think he'd cheat on you?
Oh, yeah, honey. Just give him time.
As they watch the Singer house, Lisa parks her SUV in the driveway.
We have action. Lisa Singer, 39-year-old mama of three, overcame some kind of weird childhood limp. She was a high school cheerleader and a Miss Houston, Texas contestant. Lisa's recently divorced, an avid churchgoer. She just got hired as a receptionist at a local dentist office. An alleged lesbian. Get a picture of her shoes.
Footprints?
No, I want a pair like that for my new pink sundress. Pam Kane.
A woman comes out and hugs Lisa, placing one hand on the small of her back.
No skier, churchgoer, born into a working family, then inherited, oh my goodness, $3 million. Let's put a little check mark by that.
Do you really think they're lesbians?
Oh, Jesse, you know I'm not one to judge, but the shoe fits, I say nail the line, cheating lesbians.
A girl dressed as a princess waves.
That's right, honey. Wave bye-bye to Mama.
Danny waves, too.
If divorce happens, you babies are going to be tugged and pulled in all different directions. Who do you love the most, Mama or Daddy? Want to live with Daddy? Daddy's got the swimming pool.
Danny carries his daughter inside.
Where you end up, sweetheart, life will never be the same again. Divorce damages everybody.
Later, at a patio restaurant, the investigators covertly take pictures of the women smiling and touching over lunch.
Hey, Bobby, I think you should make a phone call.
In a clothing store, Jesse wears a brown wig as she eyes Pam and Lisa. She hands her phone to Bobby, who takes digital pictures of Pam holding Lisa's wrist. The suspect wife inhales a fragrance on Lisa's arm.
Right, I gotcha.
Now, outside a large, elegant house, a young woman wearing jeans and a hooded jacket pulls a suitcase to a pair of ornate glass doors. She spots an envelope taped above a brass handle and peels it off. As a taxi pulls away, the woman reads the note. She nods to herself, lifts the doormat, and retrieves a key. Once inside, the newcomer rolls her bag up steps to a marble-tiled foyer. She sets the note and key on a table beside an urn of exotic flowers. The woman approaches a table decked with gold candlesticks and an array of framed photos. She glances at a large photo hanging above the arrangement. It shows twin boys lying on their stomachs, resting their chins on their fists. It's the same image as the one on Clara's heart-shaped keyring. Amid medium-sized picture frames on the table, the newcomer picks up a small oval frame containing a picture of herself. Later, she enters a bedroom and gazes at twin beds, each with a blue blanket splashed with a friendly animal motif. A teddy bear sits on one bed, and a stuffed white gorilla and a plush beach ball sit on the other. The woman takes a seat on the bed with the gorilla and later rests her head on the beach ball. A boy in karate garb charges in.
Hey, Amy. Welcome home.
Clara hugs Amy.
Are you going to stay all summer?
What happened to my room?
Oh, Tanner.
Clara hugs Tanner.
I told you she'd notice. The boys sort of took over. We moved you across the hall. Hope that's okay, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Tanner's twin enters.
Oh, it's JT.
JT gives a karate kick and Amy grabs him.
Goodness, look at you, karate boy. You have gotten so big. Her? Did you
show
miss me?
Whoa.
No. You didn't miss me. Well, I missed you.
Later at the table.
You want a vacation?
The twins gaze at a storybook.
I'll go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg and I'll try not to break it.
David enters.
And I meant what I said, and I said what I meant.
And now all it's for 100%!
David high-fives the twins, trots to the stove, and kisses Clara's neck.
Your mom smells good enough to eat.
Ooh. But does she smell like Daddy?
She smells like pepperoni pizza.
David sniffs Clara's face.
Sausage?
The twins beam.
Lots of cheesy cheese.
David makes a face.
And a frog.
Clara puts a celery stick in his mouth.
Hey, Clara, honey, did you tell Mr. Rodriguez that we would eat the cost on his kid's procedure?
Amy enters.
Dad?
Boo-boo! Hey, baby, welcome home.
David hugs Amy, lifting her off the floor. Later, they eat.
This afternoon, I hired a new receptionist.
Oh, wow.
Jason, take the elbows off the table, honey. It's rude. Thank you.
What's her name, Daddy?
Rebecca Singer. Who's she? She goes by Lisa.
Lisa.
I mean, she just went through a rough divorce. She's completely broke. Can you imagine that?
Take your fingers out of your mouth and eat more, okay?
I'll bet she's super nice.
Well, she just needs somebody to give her a break.
That's way generous of you, Dad.
Just try one string bean.
You know, it felt good.
Oh, she sounds like a charity case.
Yeah, you're right. She's not perfect. Can't all be perfect, Clara.
Clara breaks off looking at David and lifts a fork full of rice.
Well, I guess I'll meet her next week then.
That's right, your internship starts.
Yeah.
David, it's her summer vacation. She doesn't have to work. You, young lady, do not listen to your daddy. You are going to go to band camp. I'll write you a check.
Writing checks, the answers to everything.
Well, thanks, Clara. But this summer I thought I'd, you know, stick around here, pitch in, be with you guys. Besides, I really want to be an orthodontist.
Amy meets David's gaze.
Yeah?
Amy nods.
Yeah.
One of the twins spills a glass of juice.
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay, that's it. Bath time, come on.
Need some help?
Bath time. No, honey, I'll get it. I got it.
Later, a bathroom mirror reflects David's gaze. Wearing boxers, he rubs his hands across his chest. Frowning at his image, he slides his hand over his paunch and pulls on a t-shirt. He goes into a warmly lit room and crawls into bed beside Clara. Eyes shut, she reaches behind her and nudges him.
David, honey, I need you.
David smiles and snuggles against Clara.
Can you get me JT's blankie?
David peers at the twins sleeping on the other side of his wife. Lifting away his covers with a frown, he reaches under a nightstand and hands her a small blanket. On the edge of the bed, David glances coolly over his shoulder at Clara. In Amy's bedroom, his daughter sits perusing a brochure. She looks up as David carries a pillow past her doorway. Later, Amy crosses the foyer, enters the kitchen, and smiles. Her father sits on the countertop eating a banana smeared with peanut butter.
Boo-boo.
Hey. I guess Clara's sleeping with the boys again?
It's good. It's good, you know. Boys being so close to Mom.
Yeah, I think so.
Now in a coffee house, Bobby's photos show Pam and Lisa on their afternoon shopping spree.
Uh-huh.
Mike and Danny look them over.
Nice. Good work, Bobby.
Yes, it is. I'm the best.
Well, we were wondering, could you be a little more explicit in your report? If we're going to use this in court, we're going to need more interaction.
You want the extra foam on there?
You mean more touching?
Right.
The clerk takes an order.
Like in the dressing room. Could you say, my wife leaned over and slid her hand between Lisa's thighs.
Bobby reaches for Jesse's leg.
Like, Yes.
Mike and Danny watch with fixed interest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Bobby leans her lips toward Jesse.
Maybe something like this.
Mike's mug jiggles.
Uh-huh.
Bobby slaps the table.
Mr. Kane, you do understand that men and women are different. That women sometimes like to kiss and hug and carry on, and they have absolutely no intention of having sex.
Right.
Mike and Danny trade a look.
I take the cheating business very, very seriously, Mr. Kane. And it doesn't take a private investigator that's first class like me to know that y'all have an agenda. So whatever that is, you need to take someplace else.
The investigators start off.
Hold on.
Blue Moon doesn't play your dirty little games.
Jesse blows the man a kiss.
Ooh, something's cheating in that marriage. It ain't Pam Kane.
They leave.
I'm keeping the pictures.
Now outside Orbit Orthodontics, Sheila smokes. Lisa talks on the phone in her SUV.
I gave up the house. He gave up the kids.
David parks and gets out of the Mercedes.
What do you mean, legally? Legally, I'm their mother. I gotta go, okay? I'll call you back.
Lisa opens the door.
Hi.
She spills a salad.
You're not having a good week.
Try a good year. You don't have to get that.
David picks up the container.
That was my lunch.
I'll buy you lunch.
You must think I'm always this pathetic.
It's like you're trying to do everything by yourself. You could use a little help.
Yeah, mental help. Does our medical cover that commitment to a psych ward?
It's okay to ask for help, Lisa. It just means you're human, that's all. You're human.
He rubs her shoulder. Sheila peers down over her cigarette and coffee cup. Lisa gazes into David's eyes and his ruddy face softens. Coyly, she drops her self-conscious gaze. On their way into the dental office, they walk up a ramp past Sheila.
Morning, Dr. Harris.
He points at the cigarette.
Those things will kill you.
So they say.
A smile, big smile.
In a dental chair, a boy shows braces. As Lisa carries a file through the office, she slows her pace and smiles at David. He looks up from his patient's x-ray and eyes her. Now a sign reads Bayview Inn and Resort. In the distance, a valet approaches a car's driver's side door as its occupants get out. Now in a guest room, Lisa and David sit on the foot of a bed. Lisa stands and steps in front of David. She slides off the shoulder straps of her sundress. David gazes up into Lisa's eyes as she lets the dress fall to her waist. The curls of Lisa's golden hair stream down her back. David stands. As he touches her shoulders, Lisa slips her hands inside his jacket and slowly removes it. Now in the bed, they lie in each other's arms. Nighttime. At home, Clara and Amy carry the twins, each wrapped in a towel, into their bedroom. They plunk the boys on a bed and dry them off. In the hotel room bed, Lisa rolls on top of David in a kiss as he caresses her blonde hair. At home, Clara reads to the twins.
I'll stay on this egg and I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said and I said what I meant.
An orphan faithful 100%. Mm-hmm.
So poor Horton sat there the whole winter through.
Outside in the driveway, David sits in the car and briefly presses his forehead to the steering wheel. Inside the house, he puts down his briefcase and jacket and glances upstairs. He finds post-it notes near a salad and a meal covered with plastic wrap. They read, use low-cal dressing, no cake or cookies, don't cheat. Do not forget to use the microwave. Heat veggies on medium, 90 seconds. I love you. One reads, enjoy.
Infidelity is a virus spreading since the beginning of time. It lives in our tree-lined neighborhoods, in our office buildings. Our churches, coffee shops, and YMCAs.
David enters.
David.
Clara props herself up on her elbows.
I need you. Come here.
She reaches out.
Come here and hold me.
David stands motionless.
There are certain moments that define your entire life.
He walks away.
Moments when a shot goes through your body. And although you don't understand it yet, you know. From this point forward, nothing will ever be the same again.
A computer effect renders Clara's blank stare like a painting.
Newsflash, it ain't real. On the outside, you might be soccer mom of the year, but on the inside, it's all you can do to hold it together. keep up the image. All across America, families are hiding behind the same mask of baseball practice, Girl Scout cookies, Harry Potter sequels, and $15 Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Truth is, we're all living in fear and hiding behind our SUVs.
In church, Mike administers communion to Lisa. Danny glances at Pam.
The other shoe's gonna drop, honey.
Danny eyes the pew behind him.
It's gonna drop.
A garishly coiffed blonde woman smiles at him. His wife, Pam, glances at him, too. Now at Orbit Orthodontics, Bobby escorts a young teenage boy to the reception desk.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Here we go. We're all set.
Do you have a pen?
Yes,
please?
I do. There you go. How are we feeling?
It hurts.
Yeah.
Later, Bobby's sedan pulls into a brick house's driveway, and she and her son get out.
What time is the soccer game, honey?
About 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Who are you playing?
Cougars. If we beat them, we're in the playoffs.
As they enter, Bobby spots a pair of red pumps on the floor. She picks one up.
Mom, can I go to the park?
She peers upstairs.
What?
As Derek glances around confused, Bobby starts up the stairs. Bobby carefully climbs the stairs. She glances at Derek, tiptoeing behind her. Derek obeys, stopping in the doorway. He watches as his mother continues down the hall. She turns and flashes a brusque wave at him. He steps into his room, then peers out as Bobby stops at a closed door and listens. Bobby barges in. A dark-haired girl models a wedding gown.
I'm getting married.
Doesn't Cassie look beautiful?
A second teenage girl looks on.
Mom?
Sweetheart, we could not be happier. Isn't that right, Bobby?
Bobby gapes. The younger girl glances at Cassie.
I told you she wouldn't like it. Well, I figured since it was your first wedding dress, it'd be perfect.
Cassie tosses the shoe onto the bed as she walks past her husband.
The dress is jinxed.
Bobby leaves the room. Cassie glances at the other girl, then sneers contemptuously as she storms out.
Figures. Cassie, wait. She's gonna ruin this. She's just dying to ruin this.
Cassie goes to her room.
Mom's got three kids, and we all got different dads. Like, what'd you expect?
Tim would never cheat.
Cassie, your own dad's a cheater.
Bobby listens at their door.
Rick, I know that stuff, but he still cheated on Mom.
Just like every other jerk she's been with.
Don't worry, you can still call it off. You know Mom's right. You know in your heart it'll never last.
Bobby paces toward the master bedroom.
There are still some people in this world that believe in marriage. Whatever.
Down the hall, Bobby continues to listen. Facing a full-length mirror, Cassie pulls up a drooping cap sleeve made of beaded loops. She gazes at her image, her long straight hair framing her oval face.
But I love him.
She faces her half-sister.
Anybody in this family even care that I love him?
The younger girl fidgets. Cassie hikes up her dress, plops down beside her, and takes a bowl of cereal from her. Her sister kisses her forehead. Now at Timothy's, Clara sits at a table within earshot of Joan and her two friends.
Do you want a double chocolate muffin?
How much is that?
May I have one to go?
Oh. I thought he was happy. No, I'm happy. I'm damn blissful.
He is happy, Joan. He loves you. The two are completely separate issues.
My PI was right. Marriage is a big sham.
How old is she?
22.
The sober-faced women trade knowing glances.
She's the towel girl at the 24-hour fitness.
Clara and the clerk smile.
For weeks, Pete was complaining, why aren't our towels as wide as the towels at the gym? And then one day, not another word about towels. That's when I knew.
Her friends gaze resignedly.
I guess I have to leave him?
No, I would.
No way.
Wait,
you'll just have to win him back.
The clerk leans into Clara.
Women's club. Same time, every Tuesday.
Oh. When was the last time you and Pete had a date? We went to Tiffany's soccer game on Friday night.
Joan's chic friend rolls her eyes.
A date, Joan. High heels, tight skirt, pretending to be the maid.
Joan is a grown-up, not a Barbie doll. She has real-life responsibilities. Pete needs to suck it up and be a man.
Says the woman twice divorced.
They trade catty looks.
Look, Joan, is Pete being a prepubescent jerk? Yes. He's a man in his 40s. What do you expect?
You're the one who'll have to change.
I don't like it, but I work within the system.
Clara listens intently.
Maybe you're right. Of course I'm right. You need to spend less time with the kids and more time in the sack.
Clara blinks pensively. Now at the Bayview Inn and Resort, a band performs in a lounge.
Gets tired of chasing the sun. Get over you when all God's work.
In a room, David lies in bed with Lisa.
You smell good enough to eat.
He kisses her.
Hot, warm syrup. Cherries.
He kisses his way down her body.
How could Mike? I appreciate this body. I'd never get tired of this foot, knee, this little spot right here.
David, I love you.
She cups his cheeks as he meets her lips with his own. Now Lucas sits on the edge of a tub as Bobby takes a bath.
You know what I'm supposed to tell her? Her own father left me. And the next two-faced liar I met, Bo, slept with my best friend when I was in the hospital. In the hospital, Lucas, having surgery on my right ovary. Cassie knows this. She knows I found that slut's library card sitting next to my birth control pills. Boy, Karen Spell ever read a book in her life.
Now a bus drives past a civic building with a domed cupola inside.
Cassie remembers how her mama struggled. She remembers all four of us crammed in that stinky one-bedroom apartment, the one with all the red ants.
And that creepy neighbor?
He was a pervert. Registered in everything. I looked him up.
Protect her. She's my baby girl.
Can I get some help over here, y'all?
Administrators go about their work.
Hello?
Miss Basher, you're going to have to hold on, okay? I've got a situation here.
Why are you arguing with me anyway?
I didn't say nothing, Bobby.
But you're thinking it. That's the way your first marriage ended. I don't know how you can be like that.
Like what?
So damn trusting.
Because I know you. I know what's in here.
He points
Hello?
To his heart.
I'm looking for Mazur. Tim Mazur with an M. Parking tickets.
You gotta wait.
Breaking and entering, theft, murder, anything.
The clerk talks on the phone.
Make her parking tickets go away.
Jenny! This man thinks he's gonna marry my daughter.
Cassie?
Yes.
All right, everyone. You heard the woman. Chop, chop. We're gonna dig up some dirt on this guy.
Mazur, Tim Mazur with an M.
Lucas folds his arms as he watches. Now our view zooms over the suburbs. In fast motion, Bobby speeds off in a van marked Friendly Rose Florist. At her office, Jessie stuffs a tape recorder into a teddy bear. Bobby tries on a gray cap. Later outside, the two women spy. Now a computerized Blue Moon file card pops up and a name types out, Pam Kane. Kane is spelled with a C.
I think my husband is cheating on me.
Oh, honey, he's not the first man to double dip. You sure we haven't met?
Pam shakes her head. Lisa sits beside her.
It's just a feeling. Probably all in my mind. I swear I'm going crazy.
You look so familiar to me.
She's lost weight.
Oh, my stomach hurts all of the time. Nerves.
Oh, honey, that's not nerves. That's intuition. And that's a blessing. Do you know that when women suspect their husband of cheating, they're right 85% of the time? Men are only right 50%.
Bobby eyes the wavy-haired Lisa.
Oh, my God, it's the lucky at League City.
No.
No?
How do I know if my husband is cheating?
Oh, the wife's the last to know. The co-workers know. The mailman knows, the dog knows. But not the wife, because it could be right there underneath your pretty little nose, but you don't want to see it. Signs of cheating. Number one, changes in personal appearance. Is hubby working out, shopping at the Gap? Suddenly strutting around like Mr. Sexy. Changes in phone habits. Sneaking off to make calls, hiding the bills.
At the Harris home.
Computer obsession. Ask yourself honestly, is hubby spending every waking moment logged on, so to speak?
Hi, honey.
Amy watches David at his computer.
Sexual changes. From complete lack of interest to the bastard wanting sex now. New positions, role playing, foreplay with condiments.
Now Amy finds a hidden videotape. Oral sex after 40. Two friends laugh.
It's really not funny.
And my personal favorite is blaming the wife.
With the Harrises.
Pointing out all your little faults, leaving you, of course, to feel like you're the one with the problem.
Claire, do you just back into things and not look where you're going?
Clara washes her car.
Look at that. That's like a serious... You know how much that's going to cost? Maybe you'd be better off in a Chevy.
David, I work hard for my car. And Mercedes was the first thing to let me know that I accomplished something.
Amy watches.
Love my Mercedes.
In the office courtyard.
You should hire Bobby, too. Get some great stuff on Mac. You'll need it when your custody fight gets ugly.
I don't want to fight with him anymore. I want to be boring for a while. I want to live a modest, uneventful life.
What?
I met somebody.
Bobby spies from her office.
Those women look familiar to you.
Jesse takes a look. Below, Pam and Lisa walk off hand in hand.
No.
Bobby steps away from the window. Now in the coffee house, Pam and Lisa share a table.
And then he took me to a show. Can you believe it?
Oh, and this has been going on for months?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you because he's married.
He's married?
Lisa nods.
But he hasn't been in love with his wife for a long time. I mean, he's only staying with her because of the kids.
They have kids.
Well, three, but, you know, one of them's from his first wife.
Pam lowers her gaze, lips pursed.
He says he loves me, Pam.
Lisa's friend glances at her, then shakes her head.
I'm human. Okay, it's okay to be human.
You won't win this one, Lisa.
The wavy-haired woman frowns as Pam gets up and leaves. Lisa shifts her hands awkwardly. Later at Orbit Orthodontics, Amy carries a tray of dental molds around a corner. She finds her father and Lisa leaning close together.
Hey, Bubba.
Hi.
As David walks off, his mistress bites into a Granny Smith apple. Amy stows the tray. Later at the reception desk.
I don't believe it. Not him.
It's true. And it's poisoning the entire office. I'm telling you, after a day of watching them, I go home physically sick. You've seen the way she bends to pick up a pencil at the waist instead of at the knees like any decent woman.
He has lost weight.
He's drinking Slim Fast for lunch.
Slim Fast?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Does she know?
Amy overhears.
Well, we're not going to tell her.
David Harris. Last person I ever thought would cheat on his wife.
Well.
At home, David shaves and dances in front of a mirror in leopard print biker briefs. Checking out his flabby gut, he shakes his head. Amy enters.
Oh, hey, Lulu. You do whatever. Why don't you come in and keep me company?
David quickly wraps a towel around his waist. Amy sternly folds her arms.
No, you can afford liposuction, Dad.
David straightens, eyes their reflections, then resumes shaving. Amy picks up a spritzer bottle.
God, I can't believe you use this stuff. That makes you look all orange. God, I listened to this music when I was like 12.
David unplugs a boombox, then gives his daughter an annoyed stare. As he resumes shaving, she sits on the edge of a bathtub and glowers.
I know you're sleeping with Lisa, Daddy.
David slides his razor down his cheek, then freezes. His mouth hangs slightly agape.
Kiddo, you don't buy into that office gossip. Not my smart girl.
Dad, admit it.
He purses his lips angrily as he shaves.
Would you please just admit it?
He wipes shaving cream off his face.
I taught you about loyalty. Fought tooth and nail with your mother for your custody. Me, good old Dad. And I am not the kind of man who would hurt my family. I am disappointed in you for even thinking it.
Amy rocks, her face clenched sorrowfully.
I'm hurting.
As Amy looks up at him tearfully, he squares his jaw. Shaving cream dots his light brown sideburns.
Oh my God. Daddy, you're lying. Lying right to my face.
In the hall, Clara overhears.
Oh, my God.
Keep your voice down.
How could you cheat, Daddy? How could you cheat on Clara?
Shh.
David glances at the open door. Clara barges in, slack-jawed.
David?
He faces Amy, who turns away. Clara slaps him.
Get out of my house.
Amy cups her hands over her nose and mouth. David gives his wife a sidelong glance. A computer effect renders the frozen image like a painting, then fades out. Now a woman rinses her hands under a faucet. She slides off her wedding band and engagement ring.
Clara, honey, patients are waiting.
Sheila folds her arms.
You know, Lisa hasn't shown up in 4 days. I guess whatever she has is contagious. How's David?
Fine.
Are you okay?
Why wouldn't I be?
Clara walks off, hugging a file to her chest. Sheila bats her eyes as she watches her. Later in the parking lot, David stands beside his wife's Mercedes, wearing a blazer, dress shirt, and khakis. As he checks his watch, Clara exits the dental office. She starts down the front staircase, then pauses as she sees him. He faces her. She approaches tentatively.
Clara?
She halts, clutching her purse in front of her waist.
It fixed a scratch. The Mercedes dealer, they fixed the scratch, but now there's a rattle. Driving to work this morning, it was rattle, rattle, rattle.
I'm sorry. It's all my fault.
Of course it is, you son of a bitch. I mean, do you love her? Do you love me?
I want to come home.
She gets into the car.
Clara, please, I'll do anything. Clara, look at me. Look at me.
Facing forward, Clara turns the ignition. The mom's keys charm on her keychain swings.
Do you hear that? That rattle?
She looks at her estranged husband.
Will you take it in?
I can take it in this weekend.
Fine. I'll have dinner ready in an hour. Spaghetti.
She raises her eyebrows at David, who nods. As he straightens, she backs out of her parking space. Now outside a stately brick mansion, Bobby climbs out of the friendly Rose Florist van and heads around the back. As she opens a rear door, its window shows a man in a ball cap climbing into a red sedan. Bobby lifts a walkie-talkie to her ear.
A casserole is in the oven.
Let's brown it.
Now the van trails the red Ford sedan. Jesse rides shotgun as Bobby drives. The assistant opens a green file folder.
Got a picture of him, Bobby?
They tail the red sedan to a stop sign.
Well, let's just sneak on up here and get a little peek at him. Get your camera ready.
It's Danny Kane.
That's him? Danny Kane, Mr. Hidden Agenda? That's Pam Kane's husband?
That guy hired us like 6 months ago.
Well, we're in it now, so we might as well go for it.
Yeah.
I want to nail this deadbeat.
She follows him onto a highway. Now in the Harris driveway, David takes out a colorful bouquet and a gift from the backseat of his car. As he approaches the house, a neighbor eyes him. Wearing a suit, David reaches for the front door with his keys, then pauses. He rings the doorbell. He fingers a porcelain heart-shaped keepsake box. As Clara answers the door, he smiles.
Baby, thanks for letting me come home.
He follows her gaze inside to an elderly couple.
David.
His smile fades and he lowers the bouquet.
Clara told us everything.
Entering, David gives his wife a stern look. Later at dinner, Amy joins them.
So when Clara called, your mother and I knew what we had to do. You are our son. Clara is our daughter. We'll get through this together.
It's over with that woman.
Of course it's over.
Isn't it, David?
You married a beauty queen, David. Miss Columbia Houston.
She holds Clara's hand affectionately.
You married up, son. Everyone knows you married up.
My son has committed a terrible, terrible sin against you, Clara. And you, Amy. Against those innocent little boys. Against his own mother and father, and against the Lord, our God. If God can forgive us, then we should forgive the mistakes of our loved ones. And it was a mistake, David, a thoughtless, self-centered mistake of a weak man.
David quakes.
You can do better, son. We all know you can do better.
David? I forgive you.
She forgives you, son. Clara forgives you. And I forgive you.
Amy?
She glances at her father, then looks away. Seeing her head tremble, he lowers his gaze. Clara looks down at her plate as she cuts her food. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Later, David carries two plates into the kitchen. Using a knife, he scrapes off the remaining food into a trash compactor. He wipes his hands with the towel, then pulls the heart-shaped keepsake box out of his pocket. As he dumps it on top of the trashed food, its gold-rimmed lid pops open. Clenching his jaw, he slides the trash compactor shut. Now, Clara walks David's parents to the foyer.
Thank you again for supper, Clara. I think those Colombian meatballs are my favorite.
David arrives.
First thing tomorrow, you have to fire that homewrecker.
You haven't fired her yet?
This is not Lisa's fault. She has three children and no way to
make... Daddy! Please.
Stark, it's dark. You forgot to turn on my nightlight.
Oh, look at this boy. March right down there.
David kneels to his son.
Buddy.
Come here, honey.
Come on.
Clara picks the boy up.
Thank you for coming.
As David slowly rises, his wife faces him.
David, I'll do it. I'll fire Lisa.
He grits his jaw. Clara smiles at her in-laws.
Good night.
Come on, big guy.
Daytime. Bobby drives a riding mower through a field of dandelions. The garishly coiffed woman coaches cheerleaders in a friend's wood park. Danny struts past. Bobby watches from behind a chain-link fence as she mows the lawn. The coach smiles at Danny as she thrusts her hips. The cheerleaders stand back and watch as she twirls a baton. Danny marches away in step with her counting. His back to the dandelion field, Bobby's ex-client leans against a rail amid spectators. Behind him, the investigator crosses the top of a hill on her mower. Now Clara, David, and Amy exit their house. Amy stops at the front door and munches an apple.
Will you come, Boo-Boo?
I changed my mind. I don't want to be an orthodontist. It's gross.
She takes another bite, then heads inside and shuts the door. Later, at the office.
David. Lisa? Could you join me in my office, please?
Lisa eyes David, who looks down sheepishly. The slender divorcee follows Clara past the reception desk and into her office.
She made her bed, so to speak.
Shh. You want to get fired?
She nods toward David.
By him? He couldn't fire me if he tried. Clara owns 51% of the business. She pays his salary. She may let him strut around like boss man, but make no mistake, without his wife, David Harris is big fat zero.
Sitting nearby, he hangs his head. The door to Clara's office opens, and Lisa steps out. Sheila glances over her shoulder as the slender woman steps behind the reception desk.
Sorry.
She grabs a hinged picture frame and a purse from under the counter. As she looks at David, he rises. As Lisa departs, Sheila swaps glances with her co-worker. Standing on the other side of the desk, David fumes. Clara eyes him coldly as she leans against the doorway to her office. David strides around the desk, passes his wife, and heads into his own office. Sheila watches him slide the window door shut. In his office, David picks up a framed photo of his family and smashes it on his desk. He slumps down to his chair. Now in church.
I have sinned against you.
A pastor stands at a pulpit.
And I have done what you would consider evil.
So you are right in judging me. You are justified in condemning me.
I have been evil from the day I was born.
At another church.
From the time I was conceived.
Lisa recites, her eyes closed.
I was conceived.
I have been sinful.
With David.
I have been sinful.
Clara sits beside him.
Wash away all my sin and I will be clean.
The word of our Lord.
One of the twins trades glances with Amy, back at the other church.
Sincerity and truth.
The Canes sit behind Lisa's family.
Sincerity and truth are what you require.
Fill my mind with your wisdom.
Lisa closes her mouth.
With your wisdom.
Outside the Harris's church.
I got a pen. Nice to see you, ladies.
I'll give you a call.
Clara, God's grace is with you.
Kiss the children for me.
I will.
Son, don't you worry. The Lord forgives everybody eventually.
David nods politely, then steps away.
Bye-bye, thank you for saving me.
Clara holds her husband's arm.
I made dinner reservations for tonight. Just the two of us. Same place we got married.
He opens a car door for her.
Where?
Hey, Vet. At the Bayview.
She climbs in. Wearing a pensive gaze, he heads around the car. Nighttime. Our view zooms over Houston's twinkling skyscrapers, then looks back at them as they recede into the distance. Now the band performs at the Bayview Lounge.
I walk around this town looking for a friendly face, but everybody here is putting me in my place.
David and Clara sit at the bar.
The truth is in their eyes.
I like this music.
On the walls, and I can't.
You've really impressed me, David. The way you've handled this like a man. Pastor Paul says, as long as you're completely honest, we can survive this. He says that it is your job to answer the tough questions, huh? You owe it to me, to the marriage, to confess everything. Pastor Paul.
This is where we did it.
Clara slowly pulls back from him.
You believe I brought her here? Same place we were married? Pastor Paul says we should confess our sins. Let the confessing begin. Make a list, will you, honey? General Clara. General Lisa.
He sets a pen on a cocktail napkin.
Clara. Controlling.
He taps on the napkin. Clara writes.
Lisa, she likes for me to make the decisions. Clara spends too much money. Lisa's broke, but she's not afraid to ask for help. She likes for a man to take care of her. Lisa is tiny, or petite. Clara's big, thick person. You had a great body when we were married, honey. You just got to work out a little.
He takes the pen and napkin from her.
Clara has pretty eyes. Well, they are. They're beautiful, honey. They are. Lisa, body's fit. Lisa's body fits perfectly next to my body when we sleep.
You hold her?
She stares off sadly as David fidgets with the pen.
All night long.
They both wear gloomy frowns.
You never hold me like that, David.
She looks away from him.
Never.
A computer effect renders the image like a painting, then fades out. Now at the coffee house.
Right now, you're old news. You're the same face Pete's woken up next to for 12 years.
What's wrong with my face?
Nothing.
Clara eavesdrops.
I had my eyes done when Jim went through his face. The liposuction. Little breast enlargement. You don't want to pay less than $5,000, believe me, or it will look like it.
So I should mutilate my body to make my husband happy?
No.
Yes, women are stronger than men. You suck it up, Joan. Do what you have to. You're in a life and death fight for your family. You don't have the luxury of pride.
Joan and her two friends head for the door. Clara wipes away a tear. The chic housewife hands her a business card.
This might come in handy.
Clara takes it.
Good luck.
As Joan's friend exits, Clara removes her sunglasses. The card reads, Blue Moon Investigations, Bobby Basha. Need a clue? Call Blue. Now Bobby visits Pam.
It's the baton twirler.
I can't prove it yet, but your husband's shacking up with a baton twirler.
It can't be. She's my friend.
I know, sweetie.
We met her and her husband.
Pam knits her brow.
What is it?
Danny and I. We met Shannon in Lamar's class.
It's okay.
What am I going to do?
You are going to lay in bed and you're going to cry your little eyes out. Then you're going to get up. You're going to put on a smile and you're going to go find those babies. And you're going to tell them Mama's here and everything is fine and dandy.
But he's already filed for divorce. He wants the house, the cars. He thinks I'm having an affair with a woman. I have never cheated on my husband, Bobby.
I know that.
But he'll win anyway.
No, he won't.
He'll take my kids.
I won't let him. I won't let him. I'll fight with you as long as it takes.
It is too late. He has pictures.
She hands Bobby a stack of photos. They're the pictures of Pam and Lisa.
Oh, my.
Who would take pictures like that?
Oh.
The sun sets rapidly behind Houston skyscrapers, now on a scaffold.
We took those pictures, Jesse. We're knee-deep into this.
Let me see that camera. Hurry up.
Jesse drops it. Across the way, the garish blonde woman, Shannon, paces on a balcony wearing a negligee.
Jesse, what's the matter with you?
I'm sorry.
Sorry didn't cut it. Not for Pam Kane. Hand me the binoculars.
Danny Kane steps out onto the balcony and kisses the baton twirler passionately. Back on the scaffold.
Jesse, you never get over something like this. Never. Go see if the camera's broken.
She peers at the lovers, now silhouetted behind the curtains. Now at Orbit Orthodontics, Clara holds a banker's box.
Mr. Rodriguez has had this appointment for weeks.
I did. I was selfish. I was self-involved. I practically invited that woman into my house.
You can't just abandon them. They don't have any money.
I did this, and I'm going to do something about it because I have a list, Sheila.
Clara, please, if you quit, where were they going to go?
I'm going to win my husband back.
She passes the Rodriguez family.
Not now.
At home, Clara chucks clothing on the floor.
Clara, what are you doing?
All ladies' clothing. Boring.
She looks over a skirt, then faces Amy.
You want to go shopping?
In a dressing room, she forces up the zipper on a pair of jeans.
Isn't this great?
Later, Amy holds a thong.
You know, this doesn't look very comfortable.
Clara takes it from her.
They are.
She stretches out the pencil-thin waistband.
It's like you're wearing nothing.
At home, Clara smells David's dirty laundry.
Only thing worse than being lied to and cheated on is what you're reduced to. What makes you sick to your stomach is your own demoralizing behavior.
On the couch, she opens his briefcase. Holding his cell phone, Clara scrolls through the names on his contacts list and highlights Lisa Singer. Later, she goes through his desk.
The paranoia, the obsessing, the dirtiness of it all is enough to make you crazy. It'll make you damn crazy.
At his computer, Clara searches through David's emails. Now in an exam room, a doctor lowers Clara's paper hospital gown.
The liposuction will only remove 4 to 5 pounds, but the difference will seem much more dramatic.
Clara cocks her head.
What about my breasts? Can you make them look fuller?
Sure.
Now by the park, Bobby crests the hill on the riding lawnmower. As she rolls over tall grass and fluffy white dandelions, she looks off. Now she holds a small video camera and crouches amid the weeds. The camera's view shows Danny and the cheerleading coach kissing passionately against a fence. The woman drops her baton and caresses Danny's back. As her hand moves up to his neck, the image briefly pauses in black and white. Bobby smiles and rides away on the mower. Now two small angel figurines rotate. At the Harris home, Amy enters the kitchen as Clara cooks in a low-cut dress.
Clara?
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking, you know, about you and Daddy. And, you know, you guys love each other so much.
Oh, Amy, not now, okay? Daddy's gonna be home in a minute.
Maybe I can help. You know? You just need to communicate. See, this book, it talks about all the different stages of forgiveness. Mm. And, you know, so that's very
Thank you.
Important.
Thank you, sweetie. Daddy's home. How do I look?
Amy gives a polite smile.
You look great.
Clara kisses her cheek.
Thank you.
As Clara heads past the candlelit dining room table, Amy puts her book back in its bag. Later in the bedroom, Clara lights candles wearing a black leather bustier, miniskirt, and thigh-high boots. In the bathroom, David stands in front of the mirror and rubs his hands over his face. Meanwhile, Clara poses herself on the edge of the bed, thrusting out her cleavage. As the bathroom door opens, she quickly stands with her hands on her hips. David's shadow passes over her as she fidgets with her hair and strikes a sexy pose. She smiles seductively.
Do you like it?
David slowly moves toward her in his boxer shorts. He looks her over and nods.
I got some strawberries.
Looking away from her, David sits on the edge of the bed. Clara sits beside him and lovingly strokes his hair. David puts an arm around her waist and kisses her neck. As he moves in for another, Clara wraps her arms around him. Later, David rocks on top of her.
Do you want me to say things? Dirty things? Is that what you want? How does she touch you? Does she touch you like this?
Shh.
Does she let you, you know? Would you like me to try that? I would try it for you, David. It might excite me. You excite me, David.
As David presses his head against her shoulder, Clara looks away, her brow creased in grief. The angel figurines slowly rotate. Later, Clara lies awake beside her husband and snuggles up behind him.
See how we fit?
Clara rests her cheek on his shoulder and drapes an arm over him.
I can hold you all night, David.
As she snuggles up against his back, David blinks. A computer effect renders the image like a painting. Now at a hair salon, a young woman escorts Clara to a seat beside Amy and lowers a dome dryer over her head. Clara smiles at her stepdaughter. Later, Amy gapes and stands. Clara struts toward her, her dark hair dyed a brilliant blonde. Grinning, the orthodontist flashes her French manicured nails. Amy smiles.
I hate it, Clara.
I love it.
Now at a bridal shower, Cassie unwraps a figurine.
Oh my gosh, y'all. It's beautiful.
Wait, hold that up higher, honey.
Bobby snaps a photo.
Got it.
Thanks, Mama. I love it.
You're welcome.
I told her it's from both of us.
Oh, my. Oh, you need some scissors? No, I'll get them.
Cassie passes the next present to her mother as she gets up. Wearing a bonnet made from gift bows and ribbons, Cassie passes a guest in the dining room. With a wide grin, Cassie steps into an office and searches the desk. Opening a drawer, she finds a green file folder. As she removes it, her mouth hangs agape. Cassie angrily removes the ribbon bonnet and studies the contents of the folder. Inside, she sees pictures of a young man at his car. She flips to a page of financial records with the name Tim Mazur printed at the top. Frowning, Cassie picks up the folder and heads back to the party. Shoving a guest out of the way, she tosses the file at her mother's feet.
You hate all men!
Cassie, honey,
did you find anything, Mama? Did you find a tiny scrap of garbage to help make you feel better?
Cassie, honey, I was going to tell you that he checked out. I know your mama.
Are you sure about that? I mean, maybe she missed something. Maybe she didn't dig deep enough.
Cassie.
Because there's no way that Tim could love me for the rest of my life.
Oh, Cassie, honey.
Listen. No. You know, there's no way that being married could be the best thing that ever happens to me. And you know what, Mama? I'm going to be happy. Even if it kills you.
Cassie storms off, a hand pressed to her nose and mouth.
Oh, my God.
Later in the kitchen, Bobby washes dishes. In the adjacent dining room, Lucas picks up a few plates. As he brings them to the kitchen counter, Bobby faces him. He turns away, wipes his nose, then walks off. Bobby collects a few broken pieces of china and tosses them toward the garbage. Now at the Harris home, David kisses his blonde wife as he gets out of bed. Clara tugs on his arm as he pulls away. Smiling, she plops back down on her pillow. Now on the kitchen floor, David and his sons play with blocks. A tower falls over.
Oh, Papa did it! Oh, Papa broke it! Oh, my God! Okay, here we go.
J.G. Harris, ladies and gentlemen. The pressure is on, sir, for you to be defending champion. Do you have any comments whatsoever?
No.
No, he doesn't have any comments! No, he doesn't have anything to say!
Do you, sir, Mr. Tanner, do you have anything to say on your brother's failure to speak to me?
Clara approaches the doorway behind them and smiles. As the boys crawl over David, Clara joins in tickling him. Later, David goes to his car.
See, with cheating comes lying.
David!
And lying, and lying some more. Every single lie that comes out of your mouth does a little more damage to you. Until one day you wake up and you don't know who the hell you are anymore.
Listen, I made dinner plans tonight with Lisa. It's no big deal. We're just going to go to Perry's. I have to set some things right with her. Make amends. Like Pastor Paul said.
He kisses her forehead. Clara stares blankly.
It's only dinner, Clara. I promise.
David gently strokes her cheek and gives her a tight-lipped smile.
You understand, don't you?
Yes.
Clara watches him head toward his car. He reaches the door and turns back to her. Clara forces a smile, and he grins.
I love you.
Clara opens her mouth to speak. Her sad brown eyes follow David's car as it heads off past kids at an ice cream truck. Clara slowly turns back toward the house. The ice cream truck moves on down the road. At the front door, Clara watches it leave, then lets the door shut. Later, she sits at the kitchen island and applies her makeup using a hand mirror. As she lowers a thin brush from her shiny pink lips, she frowns at her reflection. Clara puts a hand under her chin and pulls her skin taut. Now she dumps the contents of her purse on the counter. She searches through lipsticks and makeup brushes, then takes Bobby's business card from her wallet.
Clara?
Amy stands at her side.
What?
Clara looks up at her, dazed. Now Clara and Amy walk through the enclosed courtyard in Bobby's building. Clara wears a tight red dress, cut low to reveal her full cleavage. Later, she faces Jesse.
I think my husband is cheating on me.
Jesse looks over her shoulder at Bobby, who takes a seat.
I'm sorry to hear that, honey.
With our receptionist. Ex-receptionist. Lisa. What was her real name, Amy?
Rebecca. Rebecca Singer.
Yeah, he's taking her out to dinner tonight.
Perry Steakhouse.
Yeah, Perry cuts their pork chops extra thick. I mean, just the way that that David likes it. And I thought that maybe you could go there and spy on him, listen in on his conversation. I mean, he said it was a friendly dinner.
No way. Not a chance. Tell him, Bobby.
Let's not jump to any conclusions.
What?
Do you have a picture of the receptionist?
No. No, but she has blonde hair, like Clara, like Mom's.
Yeah, well, you know, she's thinner than me, and she's prettier.
Bobby lowers her gaze. Clara notices a framed photo of Cassie and Tim. Oh. She picks it up to take a closer look.
This your daughter? Oh, she's so pretty.
Yeah, that's my oldest daughter, Cassie. She's getting married.
Oh, a wedding. You must be so excited.
Yeah, we are. We really are.
Jesse takes the photo from Clara.
Now, how long has this scumbag been sneaking around? Well, we've known about it for a couple of weeks.
Bobby gets up and goes to her desk.
Clara can't sleep.
She can't eat. I'm worried about you, Mom.
We'll get even for y'all.
Won't we, Bobby? We'll nail that lying, cheating bastard to the wall. We'll rake him over the coals. And when we're done with David Harris, he'll wish he never stepped foot outside your bedroom door.
Clara nods. Bobby studies her.
Do you love him, Clara?
What's love got to do with anything?
Do you really love him?
Amy's eyes well with tears as she faces her stepmother. Clara blinks.
He's my family. I just want my family back.
Her lips tremble as tears well in her eyes. Bobby sits facing her.
Then go home. Go home and close your eyes. This will all play itself out.
But, Bobby,
there's nothing I can find out that's going to make you feel any better. Knowing the truth will only hurt. And hurt and hurt some more, and you'll end up right back where you are, but you're still in love with the man you married. Come home.
Staring distantly, Clara shakes her head.
I can't.
Later, Bobby and Jesse escort them to the front desk.
Get some rest now, Clara. Okay, I'll call you first thing in the morning with my report.
Can't you call me tonight?
Okay, tonight after the dinner. I mean, you take her home now and you stay there until you hear from me.
No, I'll call you.
No, Clara, you won't. No communication with me when I'm on the job. No interference of any kind, and we back off the investigation entirely.
It's for our own protection. Catching somebody in the act of cheating. Well, things can get complicated. We understand.
Thank you.
Go home.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Clara and Amy leave.
It's not that simple, Jesse. When you love somebody, it's just not that simple.
Well, I'm going to go and get the new camera.
You know what, honey? I don't need you tonight. I need my husband.
Bobby picks up an office phone and dials.
Lucas, I need your help.
A computer effect renders the image like a painting.
Nothing. I love you.
She kisses his temple. Looking out the window, they spot David leaving Orbit Orthodontics.
Here he comes. You ready?
As David gets into his car, Lucas videotapes him with the palm-sized camera. David's car pulls out onto the street, and Bobby follows. Meanwhile, at the Harris home, Clara paces the living room as Amy sits wringing her hands. In the car, Bobby grips the wheel.
Could all this be just one big coincidence, Lucas? Danny Kane hires me to follow Pam Kane. He brings along Mike, Singer. And then Pam Kane hires me to follow Danny Kane. And she brings along Lisa Singer. Only Lisa isn't my client, and I don't make the connection because of the whole C-A-I-N-E-K-A-N-E thing. And then finally, Clara Harris hires me to follow David Harris, who's cheating with none other than Lisa Singer. Maybe it is just one big coincidence. I just don't know anymore.
Don't know, darling.
In front of them, David's car moves into another lane. At home, Clara grabs her cell phone and keys.
No. Remember what Bobby said. No interference.
I have to find him, Amy.
No, wait, Bob. Wait till Bobby calls. Please.
Amy follows Clara out of the house. Now Bobby parks at the Bayview Inn. As she and Lucas get out, she watches David approach the hotel.
Well, we know he ain't going to Perry's Steakhouse.
Now in a lounge, Bobby sits with a cigarette-sized microphone pointed over her shoulder.
Can't get it to work. Can't hear a thing.
Behind her, David faces Lisa.
Are they still talking?
Yeah, it's gonna work out for us. We're gonna be together, Lisa.
I've got it all arranged so Claire won't have to know.
That's it? That's your big announcement? That's what you wanted to tell me?
Well, what did you expect? For me to say I'd leave Claire for you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Lisa smiles bashfully. David gazes at her.
Sleep with me? Just tonight. I'm afraid to go home.
Is she smiling or?
Lucas watches them over Bobby's shoulder.
Have you seen what I've turned her into? My daughter, my brilliant, talented, grown-up daughter hates me. No, she's ashamed of me. You know, I have 6 dental practices. I employ 50 people. I put bread on their tables. I work 7 days a week to build something my mom and dad could be proud of, and now it's meaningless, overshadowed, negated by David's mortal sin.
Maybe I should go.
You have to understand. When I first met Claire, I never imagined I would ever... I mean, back then, her accent was so strong, she'd say, David, David. That was the only thing she'd say that I could understand. But still, she'd talk, and she'd talk, and... I'd watch her. I could watch her forever. I used to look at her. And I think I have more respect for this woman than anyone I have ever known. Have you seen what I've turned her into?
So it would be easier to be with me.
David nods and reaches out to her.
I love you.
As Lisa gazes lovingly at David, she sniffles a bit. David gets up from his seat and leans in close.
I love you, Lisa.
He helps her out of her seat. Bobby notices and faces the bartender.
But everybody here is putting me in my place.
As David takes Lisa to the hotel's lobby, Bobby stands. Lisa glances over her shoulder as they approach the front desk.
Might as well dance.
I suppose.
On the dance floor, Lucas holds Bobby close. They sway back and forth, and Bobby grins at her husband. As he smiles back, she rests her head against his chin. Lucas kisses her forehead. Meanwhile, Clara heads down a road in her Mercedes. In the passenger seat, Amy shakes her head. Clara dials her cell phone. Back at the Bayview, Bobby searches for her cell. Lucas takes it from his pocket and hands it to her.
Bobby Basha.
Bobby? Where is he? Where is David?
Clara, you know I can't tell you that. Clara, I want you to go home and wait for me to call you.
Clara's eyes widen as she listens.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nodding slightly, Clara hangs up. On the dance floor, Bobby lowers the phone from her ear. Puffing out her cheeks, she releases a breath.
That's not good.
It's not good. Let's go out to the car.
Yep, let's go.
As Clara's Mercedes speeds down the road, David and Lisa roll around in bed. Lying on top of David, Lisa nuzzles his neck. He kisses her passionately. Meanwhile, Bobby and Lucas get into their car. Nearby, the Mercedes pulls into a parking space. Clara and Amy march toward the hotel. Clara's platinum blonde hair bounces against her shoulders as she struts forward in her tight red dress. She and Amy cross the busy lobby, scanning the faces of passing hotel guests. Just ahead, an elevator door slides open. Inside, David holds his arms around Lisa's waist and whispers in her ear. Amy spots them.
Daddy!
Clara grabs Lisa by the shirt. Amy pounds on her father. As Clara whips Lisa around, a security guard rushes over. He tries to pull Clara off as David tries to calm Amy. Clara rips Lisa's shirt, revealing her bra. David shoves Clara back against a wall. Amy hits her father again.
Stop it!
David helps Lisa up and ushers her out, holding her purse in front of her exposed bra. The guard looks from them to Clara, who watches with a sad gaze. Amy glares.
I hate you, Daddy!
David stops. With one arm around Lisa, he glances over his shoulder at his daughter. The couple moves on. Clara watches with a dazed expression as they head through the crowded lobby. Now our view shifts frantically past a spraying water fountain and panicked bystanders. As Clara's Mercedes speeds through the parking lot, her heart-shaped keychain dangles. David walks Lisa to her SUV. Clara runs him down. Inside, the band plays.
Now I don't expect him to be my best friend.
As the Mercedes runs over David again, Bobby gets out of her car. Bystanders look on. Bobby steps up beside Lucas, who holds the video camera. As a group of onlookers hold up their hands for Clara to stop, others hustle away from the scene. Bobby covers her eyes, then presses her hands to her cheeks. The picture freezes, and a computer effect renders the image like a painting.
We knew our Bissell Pro Heat was gifted. But out cleaning every other deep cleaner in his class?
We're extremely proud. That built-in heater of his? Just precious.
In fact, he's the only upright deep cleaner in the neighborhood who has one. And six rows of bristles.
Our other kids don't even have bristles.
Get the machine that outcleans all the rest. Bissell. We mean clean.
We try not to play favorites.
But I mean, come on.
So guys, what are your favorite foods?
Hot dogs are good. I like macaroni and cheese.
Do you?
Chicken nuggets.
So Mom, give your kids what they really love. Make it Campbell's chicken noodle soup instead.
Water.
Water doesn't cure heartburn.
It's just antacids, the chalkiness.
Try Tums Smooth Dissolve. It dissolves fast, it works fast, and it's got calcium.
I won't be needing this.
Tums.
Research shows that kids whose parents regularly talk to them about not smoking are less likely to smoke. The Parent Resource Center at philipmorrisusa.com offers advice from experts on talking to kids about not smoking, including downloadable brochures on starting the conversation and helping kids handle peer pressure. For more information, call us or visit philipmorrisusa.com.
Looks like someone got in late last night.
I tried to call, but I couldn't get through. It won't happen again.
No, it won't.
Staying in touch is easy with GSM America from AT&T Wireless. With double the coverage and improved signal strength, it's our best network ever. Sign up now on a qualified plan and add extra lines for $9.99 each.
Don't forget to pick up your brother after practice.
Call me if you're going to be late.
That's right. You can't.
GSM America from AT&T Wireless. How many bars do you have?
Millions who pay for prescriptions out of their own pockets are already saving with their Medicare-approved drug discount cards. Hope you've got one. Get a card and get saving. Call 1-800-MEDICARE and get started today.
On Tuesday's Most Watched Show, an underground prison cell, a mummified bride.
This is really sick. Stephen King would love it.
Now the search for a madman is on.
The Good Wife's Guide controls the name of the game.
He's playing house with somebody else out there.
How much time does she have?
A few hours.
NCIS, CBS Tuesday.
Wasting away again in Margarita.
Life just keeps getting sweeter for this tropical troubadour.
57 to have a number one album.
Jimmy Buffett, 60 Minutes Wednesday.
CBS Thursday. What CSI finds underground.
His bones are human.
And underwater.
Get out now.
Is nothing compared to what's behind this door.
Put down your stuff and step away from the closet.
A new CSI, CBS Thursday.
Thank you.
at least twice more. The grisly scene with
Captain Robert Bigelow will be provided by Harris's 17-year-old stepdaughter, Amy.
First-degree murder, which could result in a sentence.
Such a nice couple. We really thought they'd make it.
I thought so. We prayed for them.
Why did all of America become so obsessed with the Clara Harris story? Because it happened to a middle-class, dual-income, respectable family. Because it happened in the suburbs, where good people like you and me live.
In an old home movie, David jumps in the pool, splashing Amy.
Because if a sickness can grow inside the Harris family, are any of us really immune?
Soaking wet, David picks up Clara. They all smile, now in a courtroom.
Now we all know...
Clara received the maximum sentence, 20 years in prison. David's own parents forgave Clara. They begged the judge for leniency. The woman prosecutor used this argument to convict. Why didn't Clara Harris do what every other woman in her situation does? Take her husband to the cleaners. Divorce David? Take him to the cleaners? I'm sorry, but that woman missed the boat entirely. Clara didn't want a divorce. Clara Harris was in a life and death fight for her family. Her survival instincts kicked in. I want you to ask yourself, would you kill to save your family?
Now, wearing a bridesmaid's dress, Cassie's sister zips up Cassie's white lace bustier.
You ready?
In prison, Clara removes her pearl stud earrings. In Cassie's dressing room, her sister hands her similar drop earrings. Cassie puts them on. Clara takes a single strand of pearls from the collar of her purple blouse and sets it on a counter. In the dressing room, Cassie holds tendrils off her neck as her sister fastens her necklace in place. In the prison, guards watch Clara remove her wedding band and diamond engagement ring. Now, as Cassie puts on her wedding dress, Clara pulls on an orange prison uniform. Cassie frowns at her reflection.
Cassie, what is it?
A prison guard carries a blanket, towel, and soap case.
I can't do this.
As her sister gapes, Cassie's gaze drifts pensively.
I can't do it.
She walks off. In prison, a guard leads the brunette Clara by the arm. The prisoner holds the neatly folded blanket, towel, and toiletries. They approach a barred gate, and a second guard opens it. Clara steps inside, her eyes darting uncertainly. The guard opens a cell for her, and she steps in. Blinking, Clara sets the blanket down on a mattress fitted with a white sheet and pillow. As she takes a seat on the edge of the bed, she wrings her hands. Now, glitter falls in a carousel snow globe. Nearby, Bobby puts on a sheer pink shawl as she talks on the phone.
We'll be there in 5 minutes. How does she look?
Terrible, Mom. She's really upset. She's called it off.
I don't understand.
With Cassie.
What did she expect?
Cassie.
Back in her bra and slip, Cassie rests her head on her sister's shoulder. Meanwhile, Bobby sits with her gaze lowered. On the other side of an open doorway, Lucas stands with his hands in his pockets. In prison, Clara sits on her mattress, staring straight ahead. Back at Bobby's, Lucas steps toward his wife.
Are you done now? Are you about finished? Because, you know, I never bought this whole cynic thing right from the start. Nah, this whole marriage is a sham, you're better off alone thing, I don't buy it, never did, not for 1 minute, but I'll tell you who does. Your daughter. The whole world knows you've been cheated on by just about everybody you ever believed in. I get it, we all get it. Well, you can stop sleeping with one eye open right now, because I... I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
Bobby's eyes brim with tears. She reaches out her hands. She and Lucas hold each other's arms.
Sweetheart, I'm right here.
Now Cassie sits alone in the dressing room, facing her reflection in a full-length mirror. The wedding dress hangs on a rack beside the door. Bobby enters. Cassie averts her teary mascara-smudged eyes. Bobby takes a few steps closer and notices the dress.
This dress has been hanging in my closet for 20 years. Every couple of years when I clean my closet out, I think, what the hell am I saving this thing for?
Cassie looks away. Bobby frowns. Cassie fiddles with a vial in her lap, then picks up a bride and groom figurine.
What should I do? What do you want me to do?
Pack up your heart and go home. Be your mama's daughter. You can close your eyes and just jump right in. Just jump in.
I know, but I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Bobby hugs Cassie to her stomach.
Sweetie.
You know what, baby? You might just get it all. You just might get it all.
I love you, Mama.
I love you so much, Cassie.
Bobby stares off wistfully.
Let's get you dressed.
In a prison visiting room, Clara reads to the twins.
And they cheered more and more. They'd never seen anything like it before. My goodness, my gracious, they shouted. My word. It's something brand new. It's an elephant bird. And it should be. It should be like that. Because Horton was faithful. He sat and he sat. He meant what he said. And he said what he meant. And they sent him home happy.
100%.
The boys sulk. By the door, a guard checks her watch. Now Cassie and Tim exit a chapel surrounded by guests.
So the sun was shining, the earth was turning, and my daughter walked into the rest of her life with open arms. And it finally hit me. Maybe Cassie has it right. Wouldn't it be something if my daughter has it right?
The newlyweds get into the back of a silver sedan wrapped in pink ribbon. Their guests wave from the chapel walkway as the sedan slowly heads off. At the front of the crowd, Bobby puts a hand to her chest. As Lucas kisses her forehead, an effect renders the image like a watercolor painting.